We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit MTE.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better.
Since
1936.
This is WGNS Action. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years.
Since 1947.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is now in studio with us. How are you this morning?
Man, I've broken like 19 traffic laws.
Oh, good.
Getting here to Murfreesboro, or getting here. So, my fault.
All on camera these days.
Yeah, true.
So, what's happening in Murfreesboro? What's the latest thing going on?
We've had some really good meetings. Had a meeting last Thursday night. We recognized Sergeant Mark Wood with our host unit. The host unit was put into place about 2 or 3 years ago. Really working with intervention on homelessness downtown all over Murfreesboro. And so he was presented a STARS award for just a service above and beyond. So it was pretty cool that he came to the meet. You know, he was recognized at the meeting, and there were, I didn't count, but my guess 30 or 40 of his fellow team members and officers and support staff that came to support him getting that award. So Sergeant Wood is he's as good as they come and continues to work hard for Murfreesboro.
That's cool. And by the way, our phone number, if you have any questions you want to text in, 615-893-1450. We got a lot of new police officers out there. I mean, it's ever changing.
Yeah, you know, about 5 or 6 years ago, when a lot of the things that were happening nationally, and it's like with any group or employee, you know, there are good employees and there are bad employees. And sometimes, unfortunately, things that someone does somewhere else gives a bad name to the entire profession. And so when some of the things happened nationally back in 2020, we took that as a chance that we said, look, we know we've got good people in Murfreesboro. And so, you know, instead of having the discussion of defunding the police, we said, look, we're going to fund our police department. And we were routinely anywhere between 35 to 50 officers down as far as hiring. And so a couple of years ago, the council, a little longer than that, about 3 years ago, the council really put a program in place where we said that, you know, we're going to lead on compensation for our officers, but, you know, not just compensation, take home cars, all those things. And so last year was the first year since I've been on council that we've been 100% staffed in our police department. At the same time, it was a year ago this past August, September, we implemented a new public safety plan for our fire department, fire and rescue department as well. And we were losing a lot of our team to other neighboring agencies, mainly Nashville. And so we put that in place, and we're at 100% in our fire and rescue department as well. So I think the number that I got back, we had 27 people this year who obtained their paramedic designation, EMT designation. So we had a lot of good things that are happening in Murfreesboro.
It's always a good thing when a first responder, be it a, you know, a police officer, a fireman, is able to provide that first aid on the scene right away as opposed to waiting.
Yeah, and one of the things that we're really working on now, and I say this and I truly believe this, I mean, when you call 911, you do not care what uniform the person is wearing when they get there. I mean, you just want help. So, you know, you don't care if it's a Rutherford County fire and rescue person, a sheriff's department person, Smyrna, Laverne, Murfreesboro. I mean, you know, we all work well together. And that's one of the things about 30 days ago, Smyrna, Murfreesboro, the county commission, Laverne, we all came together and we all voted and passed a memorandum of understanding to look at unified dispatch inside the county. And what that is, you know, right now you've got a primary PSAP, which is a public safety answering center. And so Murfreesboro has one, the county has one, Smyrna has one, Laverne has one. And what ends up happening based on cell phone technology, those calls get routed to where the tower is. So you may have someone calling for medical assistance that it goes to the county, and then that has to be routed to the city. And so what we're really looking at is how that we do that more efficiently. And look, it may come back and say, we all voted on doing a study to really look at that. And to me, it's a no-brainer. It's one of those things that, you know, and unfortunately, I think sometimes turf and control get involved and, you know, people don't want to give things up. But, you know, I think if they came back and said that the city of Murfreesboro would be better served giving up some of that control to a unified command structure where calls don't ping, there's not the chance to where a call gets dropped, we would all be, I think the council agreed, we voted on it, we'd be all on board on that. So that's one of the things, just another way that our county, our municipalities and the county continue to work together. You know, I've gone through, Scott, times when we've worked really well together, when we haven't worked well together, and there's been conflict. And I think right now, the entire county is working really well together.
Man, technology is changing so fast. And for example, new iPhones, they will notify a 911 service if it feels like there was an accident or a wreck.
You know, that happened. I experienced that. So one of my boys, their senior year, they were sitting still in their car going on Memorial. And they were at the Memorial Osborne Lane red light there. They were headed out towards the VA. Well, a patient at the VA went into diabetic coma and just rear-ended my son.
Wow.
And totaled the car. His phone was sitting on the center console, and it hit him so hard it shot it through the dash and broke his phone. So anyway, Life 360, the app, contacted me and said, hey, your son's been in a car wreck. Look on your app. It tells you exactly where it is. But they notified the police. They notified everyone. So technology's out there. We just can't be afraid to use it.
It's pretty cool. And then the police department, they've got new cameras.
We've got this LPR system, and that was a big discussion that we had Thursday night, and I think Chief is implementing. It's like with anything, when you utilize technology, there's also a downside to that where people think that it's more of Big Brother, you know, looking at them. I think the public right away, we're filmed routinely, and so we're not monitoring people on their day-to-day actions on this person did this. But I mean, I'll give you an example. Someone stole some scaffolding off of a job site. A neighbor's Ring camera recorded the person stealing the materials. That neighbor sent the video. The video got sent to the police department. The police department, they were able to go back, look at the timestamp on the Ring camera. It took them 11 minutes to track down the person who had stolen the material. They were able to look at their license tag. They saw that the truck had scaffolding in the back of it. They were able to identify that person. They were able to get the stuff back.
Pretty obvious then what's the camera recorded then.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like the amount of BOLO, so be on the lookout of when, say, somebody comes from Nashville and there's a crime that's been committed. They know the car. So that's what that's used for. And there's going to be a report come out here before long that will show you the amount of apprehensions that's taken place through that system. Now, with that being said, the city council all agreed on Thursday night, the Flock is the camera system that the company that's being used, and there's also a transparency portal a city in New Mexico's used that. And so we're looking at going ahead and putting that transparency portal up on the city website where you can get all that data and be able to see, you know, sort of what it's being used for.
Interesting. And, you know, sometimes one theft may be caught, I guess, on a Ring doorbell camera. They report it. And maybe no arrests are made, but then a week later, another theft occurs and another camera captures the same thing, same car. And
well,
then
it's my understanding, and I don't know all the inner workings on this, but the shooting, I don't know if you remember, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, there was a shooting on I-24 that was a road rage accident where, it's not an accident, there was a road rage incident where a young man was shot on 24, and that person was caught through these LPR systems. We had on the west side of town, we had a group from Nashville that was coming in, and they were basically terrorizing a neighborhoods at night with AR assault rifles standing over the cars. And Nashville doesn't have this system. It mind boggles me why the majority of the people come in other counties and go back to Nashville to do some of this. And so we caught them through that system. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's not being used to surveil. It's not being used to say, hey, we're going to track Scott and see where he goes through Murfreesboro. What it's being used for is, for example, when a gunshot goes off inside the city, it can triangulate that area, see where the gunshot came from, and be able to track someone. I mean, the LPR system, there was a shooting on Bradyville Pike where a young child, I think there was some shots that were sprayed into an apartment complex or a townhome. They caught that person using the LPR camera system. And so, you know, what I tell people is if you're a criminal, you would be against these cameras because they're going to catch you. If you're a resident, the sole goal for these cameras is to protect our residents.
I would say the vast majority of people are not out there breaking laws, doing stuff bad.
No.
I guess it's just that over-the-top fear of people, the government following them or something along those lines.
It is. And I think that is something that we have to be cognizant about that trust inside the community. And I think wherever we can sort of show that, you know, that's not happening, if we can dispel any rumors and we can just make that transparent, then that's what we should do. And I think that's what the council is committed to doing.
We had a question asking about the traffic signal modernization program. What is that system? I know I read about it, but
yep.
What is that exactly?
So that's going to be on Rutherford Boulevard that goes all the way from Northfield, where it turns into Northfield, all the way to back to I-24. And so that's adaptive traffic signal systems. And so part of that is a grant where the state government's paying for a portion of that. But what that's going to do, it's using AI, and it's also using technology to be able to better time traffic and transportation flow. So these cameras will actually monitor the amount of traffic that's coming through an intersection, and over a given period of time will then adjust the timing on that based upon the data that actual intersection is receiving. And then what happens, all of the signals in that corridor are linked and talking to one another. So what's happening, for example, on Greenland Drive and Rutherford Boulevard is then talking to what's happening at East Main Street and Rutherford Boulevard, and talking to what's happening at John Bragg Highway and Rutherford Boulevard. So all of that is in play and working together. So right now, you know, we've got a transportation center at City Hall where they're doing a lot of that data manually. And so now we're using technology to be able to handle that.
So basically it makes traffic lights smarter and know when to turn green or versus turning red.
Or when there's an accident, you know, it lets everything know what's going on in that corridor. So that same technology has been adopted here recently on I-24. That's the new signage that you see that's going up. So when there's an accident, that is linked with the smart technology that's on 41 going to Nashville. So it all interplays together.
And the smart corridor on I-24, you know, that was a big project that TDOT put together, but it seems like it hasn't really gone where it was supposed to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue, I haven't seen the information that's come back from TDOT on that. I mean, I think the issue right now, my boys had to go to Nashville yesterday morning, and they left at 8 o'clock, and they were like, "Dad, it took us 59 minutes to get to Nashville." And so I think what you're seeing, and I see this in Murfreesboro quite a bit, you know, from your peak traffic times, it's super busy in Murfreesboro in the morning and the afternoon. Now, you go to the Avenue at Christmas time.
It's crazy busy.
It's going to be busy. Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of times in Murfreesboro where you can travel pretty freely during your non-peak time areas. Our goal is to figure out what we need to do during those peak areas to make things better.
That's a problem that's going to be with us for a long time because we're not getting any smaller.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not, I don't want to say this is the cop-out answer, Scott, but, I mean, I go routinely to other municipalities where, you know, you go to Sam Ridley Parkway in Smyrna, that's busy. I mean, it's just part of a growing community. No one likes to hear that. But I mean, if you go to Knoxville, you go to Chattanooga, you know, what I would say communities that are similar in size to us, it's sort of a way of life right now. And that, you know, part of it, I think we're going to have to find better ways to be able to utilize technology to be able to help with that. And I mean, I use technology every day in my car when I'm using either, you know, maps or Waze to be able to take me somewhere in Murfreesboro because it's telling me the quickest way to go somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, nowadays people are typing in the address they're headed to because they're able to find a quicker route, even though they know exactly how to get there. But yeah.
So, man, it was like 27. I remember Ashley and I have been married 26 years. So it was like 27 years ago. We had not been married yet. It's when I knew, hey, this is the one. We took a road trip to San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah.
We drove.
It's a long drive.
Yeah. It's about a two-day drive. But we used MapQuest. And so we had paper, you know, that was taking us, telling us, you know, where to go. But there was no Waze or there was no Google Maps that's taking us where we need to go.
No, that was the way to take family trips. You'd go to MapQuest online, print it out, and you'd have those.
My grandparents, I still remember, they had a Rand McNally map that was in their car, you know, like in the in between the seats. That's how you got somewhere, you know.
We had somebody asking, are there any new major businesses or corporate investments expected to locate in Murfreesboro this year?
We just did a groundbreaking about 30 days ago for Cintas. Cintas is doing an extremely large investment in Murfreesboro out on Beezy Drive, out by the Costco and out by the Lazy Days RV area out there. I think that's Camper's World now.
It's a huge RV and yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of things that's coming through that are coming through the city. Of course, we've all seen the phenomena of In-N-Out Burger about that opening up. So I mean, yeah, no, there's a lot of different things that are coming through the city. I'm proud of our city TV team that they're doing a thing weekly now called What's Happening in the Borough, and it's got like development projects that are under construction. So lots of things coming through, lots of road projects that are moving through too, man. It is one of the big corridors that we're working on right now. The study's coming back this month is that Cherry Lane, Stones Battle Parkway corridor that's out on the west side of town, the new interchange that's going to be there. So there's a lot happening in that area specifically.
Do you know yet at this point, is TDOT going to allow for an I-24 Stones Battle Parkway interchange?
Yeah. I mean, so it's one of those things where it's still in TDOT, whether it's going to be, that's part of the Choice Lane project that's going on. And then also, it's either going to be that or it's going to be a bridge that will go over 24 and link Blackman Road to that side of town. So, I mean, I would argue that this new Stones Battle Parkway, the Cherry Lane going over 840, that's going to be one of the most critical road projects that's ever been built in Murfreesboro, because you're basically linking the entire northeast side of Murfreesboro in the county with the west side of the county. I mean, think about it right now. The only way that you can get from the west side of Murfreesboro over to the other side of Murfreesboro is either going to Veterans Parkway Interchange or going to Highway 96 Interchange or Medical Center Parkway. This is another complete one. And, you know, Scott, I think it's something to take note that this road has been on the county's major thoroughfare plan. It's been on the city's major thoroughfare plan for a long time. So that's one of the discussions that we're having. The school board, I was watching the meeting this morning, the school board voted to try to negotiate on the Des Mukes property, which is on the other side of 24, which is right where the interchange is going to go. So we're going to hopefully continue to collaborate with them to try to, doesn't seem to me that a school would be a great spot to put on an interchange, but yeah. That's one of the things that it's one of those things, you know, we end up having some of these hiccups along the way sometimes where, you know, I think it's really important when you look at a piece of property to look at, for example, the county's long-term road plan, look at the city's long-term road plan and make sure that, I mean, that's what most developers, anytime that they're looking at a piece of property, the first thing they look at is, okay, what's planned for this area? And that's something, you know, you want to make sure you look at, and we'll continue to work with those groups. Everybody has a focus that they're looking at, and one of the things we try to do is work with everybody sort of in totality to make sure that we can all work together.
I know we don't have a lot of time left, but downtown Murfreesboro, One East College, that's an ongoing debate almost.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd still call it a project. Is it still a project?
It's now back going through the process. I think our city manager, Gore, sent us an email. He's great on communicating. He sent us an email, I think it was on Thursday or Friday, that updated sort of what the meetings he's been having. And one of the meetings was with the stakeholders because they wanted to talk about the architecture of the building process that's moving forward. So I think they're really close, but it's like a friend of mine told me a long time ago, I'm from the show me state. And so he wanted to say like, show me.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of us are sort of apprehensive right now because until we see, you know, the church being renovated. We did get good news when they came to Planning Commission about a month and a half ago. They inspect that church monthly and also inspect the insurance company requires them to have a structural engineer look at it on a yearly basis. And so it's in good shape and ready to be renovated for something.
Something's going to happen there.
Lord willing. But again, until I see the first shovel of dirt turn, have a hefty level of skepticism.
I think that's natural because it's been kind of just sitting there for so long.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Keystone Project, where we're sitting right now.
Yeah, so, you know, it's my understanding there's been significant meetings that have been going on with the WGNS team, and we're being told I'm not involved in that. But, yeah, so they are going through their financing portion to be able to start, but WGNS portion has to start first. But, yeah, it's my understanding that's all moving along. They've given us a whole Gantt chart showing the timing on all that, and so it's moving along that process.
And the plan is to tear down this entire block. And of course, we're going to move across the street, basically.
Yeah, they can't tear down this entire block until they get y'all moved across the street. That was really sort of the mitigating factor that we were trying to do, is to say, okay, this has to happen first. And then once that happens, this next part can happen. So there's a lot of steps to go through, you know, I think before you start seeing like where we're sitting right now, the vertical portion. I think that the date they gave us was mid to end of 27 would be when you could start seeing things go vertical where we're sitting right now.
It's going to make a big difference. I think all these projects, if they all come together like they should, it's really going to change the landscape of downtown Murfreesboro, probably in a very positive way, bring in a lot of new people, new shoppers, all that stuff.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people, and I see this on social media sometimes, that they say the downtown, we want it to be like it was 40 years ago. And I would say be caution what you ask for on that, because 40 years ago, you saw very little retail on the downtown area. It was predominantly lawyers and businesses that they open at 9 and they close at 5, yeah, or governmental offices. And so I think for most vibrant downtowns, like I went to Columbia, Ashley and I went to Columbia the other night, their downtown is great. Just in restaurants off of the downtown, you know, we ate at a nice restaurant off the downtown that was a great spot. So I think that's the whole goal, is to be able to say it's not just what happens downtown, it's what happens around downtown proper, that where that activity comes, you end up getting, it's that old saying, a rising tide raises all ships, and we want what happens in the downtown area to be able to help everywhere. But Scott, I think the one thing that's extremely important, you got to have people living downtown.
Yeah.
And right now, outside of what I call the downtown proper, there's no one living downtown besides the, you know, the periphery where you've got residential houses. And so I think there's a good mix to be able to say, this is what's good for the downtown. This is good. What's good for the activity. And Scott, I say this, you know, I don't know one downtown business owner. And take note, these are all small business owners. These are not chain restaurants. Every one of them have come to the council and come through Main Street and said, we want to see the downtown progress, because what's good for the downtown, selfishly, it's good for all of their businesses, which in turn is good for Murfreesboro.
I hear a lot of people talk about downtown Franklin and all the events and things that take place there. But honestly, I think our downtown square, the area downtown Murfreesboro, it looks so much better. We have so much more potential to offer, I think, than what the one street in downtown Franklin has.
I agree. I mean, downtown Franklin, you've got the roundabout there that you come in on, but you really don't have what I would say a square.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the roundabout and you've got some. So, yeah, I mean, I think we've gone through this entire downtown study. You know, we looked at Oxford, Mississippi. We looked at some of the things that they've done. We're working on a policy to be able to actually look at sidewalks to where the businesses can actually lease the sidewalks in front of their business to be able to use those for outdoor dining, for outdoor displays, to sell things. So, I mean, I think there's all kinds of things that we're working on. And with that, there's some challenges that we continually work through with, you know, for example, I think the county's worked through a lot of changes with the farmer's market. You know, I got an email from a lady and a call from a lady yesterday who was extremely mad that she couldn't get a booth at the farmer's market, but the farmer's market it's booked.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's the opportunity to where you can see services expanded with an improved downtown. And I think we got a great opportunity to do that.
And once these new multi-purpose buildings are built, you're going to see even more retail, more restaurants, and that's just going to draw more people.
Well, not to mention restaurant, you're talking parking too.
Yeah. I mean,
one of the biggest challenges that we have downtown is parking. And so both of these developments end up including almost 1,000 parking spots that would be put downtown. I think One East College is about 400, and I think it's almost about the same for Keystone. And you take that into account, like the city parking garage, I'm there a lot.
Yeah.
It's never full. And so I think you've got the ability to be able to transition to where a lot of that is going to improve.
Again, Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland this morning. We're already out of time, but we appreciate you joining us.
Hey, sorry for the short one today.
It was perfect.
We are broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Did you know that you can see power outages in real time by visiting mte.com?
We also recommend that you download the MTE app.
The free app gives you better control of your power consumption
and provides the ability to see exactly how much electricity you use
and how to reduce that usage and save money.
Search for the MTE app in Google Play or in the iTunes Store today.
MTE, providing services to make life better since 1936.
This is Peter Demas, and our family's inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. We're trying to give them a place where they can eat with their family that's not fast food. We want to create an atmosphere where we can sit down and just have a good old-fashioned family dinner. But unfortunately now, most people can't do it at home. So, you know, two people are working, the kids' activities. And so what we're doing is we provide that and we make it affordable. Come eat with us at Demas's restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE's Drive EV program has resources for members who would like to learn more about all aspects of EVs. MTE is developing programs and educational materials to answer member questions. Learn more at driveev.com.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit recycleright.tn.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you.
Don't be trashy, recycle.
Recycling isn't just about tossing materials in a bin. It's about knowing which materials are accepted. Go to recycleright.tn.com.
Recycle Right Tennessee.